How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this week. We're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 9, verse number 33. The Lord, as he's going through Galilee secretly, has told the disciples about his coming betrayal and death and resurrection. The disciples don't understand. They come to Capernaum and they go into the house and where they're staying. And the Lord Jesus Christ asked them, what is it that you guys were disputing amongst yourselves? A little bit stronger than talking about. They were kind of arguing about who would be number one. What is it that you disputed among yourselves? By the way, verse 34, but they held their peace. They wouldn't say anything, for by the way, they had disputed amongst themselves who should be the greatest. And so the Lord knew he wants them to say it out loud. One thing to promote self amongst others that you and I judge to be our peers, or we judge to even be less than us. We have no problem with that. We believe we're justified in doing so. But it's another thing to look to justify and promote self amongst one that's greater than us. It's shameful to do so. And so the Lord asks them, and he wants them, he challenges them that they would say this out loud, but they held their peace, the scripture says. They would not publicly admit what they had done. And if we're not willing to publicly admit what we have done or said, then, well, we should be ashamed of it. That's the reason that they're withholding doing so, is they're ashamed. They're ashamed of their position. And so the Lord is going to teach them, and praise be to God for the compassion and the long-suffering of the Lord. He is compassionate and long-suffering, and he does take the time to teach them the way things should be. As we mentioned last time, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest. He is God the Son. He is God in the flesh. He is the Savior, the Redeemer. He is the Creator, the Savior and Redeemer, and the Judge. There's none greater than He. He is the greatest. And we take a look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He became flesh, dwelt amongst men, came meek and lowly, and came as a servant. Well, and during the Lord Jesus Christ's life, during His human life, what did He do ever for Himself? You know, from the things that we see the Lord Jesus Christ do, His entire ministry was for the sake of His people. His entire ministry was for the sake of others. He did nothing to please Himself. And so if that's the example of the greatest that there is, if that is the example of the greatest one that has ever been, that he became a servant, then why should you and I seek to climb up on the backs of one another? We should take that example and be a servant ourselves, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ with His truth, His word, His way, His will, and not worry about being great. Because indeed, in the scriptures, the Lord, and I think He's going to say that here, the Lord Jesus has shown how to be great in the kingdom. And so let's read. They held their peace, verse 34, because they had disputed amongst themselves who should be the greatest. Here's the compassion and the long-suffering of the Lord. He teaches them. And he sat down, verse 35, called the 12, and saith unto them. So he sits down and said, you guys come over here. If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. You want to be first? You got to be everybody's servant. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them. So he sits the child down in the middle of them. And then he takes the child up and holds him in his arms. Taking him, the child in his arms. Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. You and I receive one of such children in my name. You know, that's really, really a weighty thing, isn't it? A child who is innocent, a child who is of little power, of no influence. I don't mean that in that bad way. I'm just saying that children, in the great scope of things, are weak, aren't they? They have their ability, because of lack of maturity, is low, and we desire to see them learn, to grow, and everything. That's the reason children have been given parents, and that's the reason the day that we have that things are turned upside down, it's a detriment to children. But a child has little influence, little power, little ability, and the Lord says, "Receive them in my name. If you receive them in my name, you receive me. And if you receive me, you receive the Father that sent me." You know, and we need to remember that. I need to remember that. You need to remember that. You want to be great? You be the servant. Yeah, you be the servant even of a little child. And I'm not talking about the order in the home being mixed up. There is a thing that's at hand in our day. It's prevalent in our society because of the culture rot that's at hand, is that children run the household. That's not what the Lord's talking about. Now, children are to honor their father and their mothers. But in this day and in this culture that the Lord Jesus Christ is living in, as it is much in the Middle East, the children were regarded very much as just a possession, just nigh unto cattle by many. And that's not good. Same thing with the women. It wasn't right. And the Lord even set some of those things straight as he ministered. He said, you want to be great in the kingdom? You be a servant to children of the truth. You be a help to children of the truth. And you know what? If you receive a child in my name, you receive me, and you receive the Father that sent me. Verse 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him because he followeth not us. So John takes this to the Lord and tells him what he saw and what he's done. There's one casting out devils in the Lord Jesus Christ's name, but he's not trooping, he's not following with the Lord and his church, his apostles. And so he said, if you won't follow us, you need to quit that. That's what John said that they had done. We saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him because he followed not us. And so when they saw what the man was doing, and evidently he was, they said, you need to follow us. And the man said, no, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And John said, well, you need to stop it. You need to stop doing that work. But Jesus said, verse 39, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. If truly the power of God is on him, and that's the qualifier. If the power of God is on him, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is casting out demons, then he can't hurt. He is not hurting our ministry, my ministry. Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. If he is doing so by my power and by my ability, by the power of the Holy Spirit in my name, if he is truly doing so. Now see, there's the key. There are many fakers. There are many pretenders that say that they are and would even invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not being saved and not following truly after the Lord Jesus, they would look to be like this, but are not. But the Lord says, if they truly are doing a miracle and they're doing it in my name, don't forbid them, because they're not hurting my ministry and they're not hurting my way. For he, verse 40, that is not against us is on our part. Okay, so if they're not, see, remember how it is with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, lawyers and scribes. They come to the Lord, challenging the Lord, supposedly with the word of God, looking to just tear down and break down what the Lord says and does. They're against him. You look at the heathen that would deny the Lord and deny God and deny his Savior and salvation. They're tearing down the work of God. They don't follow in with the Word of God. It is going to be so. Now, understand this. It is going to be so that there are going to be those who the Lord has saved, and they have a calling in their salvation, and they're not going to be a part of one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches, but they are going to be doing the work of God. They're going to, this passage makes that clear. So if they're not fighting against the truth of the Word of God and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, forbid them not. Okay? Now we would like that they would come and join us in the truth of what the Lord's shown us about his church and the calling and the ministry and the commission that he's given to his local New Testament Baptist churches. We would like them, but we don't need to forbid them and what they do that's right. If it's truly the truth that's at hand, to the extent that they have it, then we need to not forbid them. For whosoever, verse 41, shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. So if they're not against us, and they're not against the truth of the Word of God, maybe they don't have all of the truth of the Word of God, and realize what, none of us have anything that we haven't been given. What we have, if we have anything at all that's of value and of truth and that's eternal, it's been given to us by the Lord. And so if they'll give a cup of water to the children of God, because one belongs to Christ, they, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. See, there's a receiving there. There may not be a total total receiving of all those things that one disciple or one child of God would have that the other, but they don't fight against one another. And whosoever, verse number 42, shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and were cast into the sea. And so the Lord tells what should be done with child abusers is that they should be killed. That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Children are innocent and they are trusting and they have little ability and power to defend themselves. And the Lord says, one of these little ones that believes in him, if there's an offense to them, it's better that that one that offended them, a millstone be put around his neck and he cast into the sea. Now realize Jesus has said this. Jesus has said to child abusers, capital punishment is in order. That's what Jesus says. And so understand, you know, that this has started about how to be great in the kingdom of God, be a servant of all. Well, I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.